Okay, we are up to in Klas Allen, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines in the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. 72A, 13 lines in the bottom. My guess is it's A3, but I'm not sure.
Two
at the bottom of two. Thank you very much. With Klas Allen Bepumba, this is referring to, it's interesting, Machloikas had to be Gairis and Rashi, but I'll take the box, Girsa. That is, there's three ribs in the mouth of the animal. Daniel in his dream saw four animals, and each one represented one of the four Goliaths. The first one was the lion, which represented Bubbo. And according to the way the Bach is Gairis, this passage is talking about that. There are those that learn, they change Rashi, which Rashi contradicts himself, that it is talking about Paras, which was the second animal, the Persian Empire. But again, we're going to take the Bach, Gairis, and Rashi. The honest truth is, I don't know how they can argue. Why don't we open a Daniel and look it up and see where it says it, by the first animal, by the second animal. Obviously, it must not still be, I didn't look it up. I could just say, the Bach learned one way and somebody else learned the other way. Who learned like the Bach? So there were three ribs in the mouth of this lion. Bein shinea between its mouth. Now the problem is, the puma means internally, bein shinea means you can see it outside. So is it inside of the mouth, or is it outside of the mouth? That's the Gemara's problem. Amar Rabbi Yechon and Zuchalosan Hadayim and Etzivin. It refers to these three cities or areas. Sometimes it's under the Babylonian control, and sometimes it spits it out, means it loses control. So therefore the Pasuk says, Bepuma, Eishinah. Sometimes it's Bepuma, and sometimes it's Bein Shinah. Rashi. First wide line. Klas Alam Bepuma, Bechaya Harishaina, this is how the Bach is Gairis, Shivimara de Neoksiv, it's written by the first animal, Behi Bubbo. The puma ben shineha, the trashi. The puma mashma b'vnim, ben shineha mashma shaboltas b'chutz. The puma seems to indicate inside, and ben shineha seems to indicate outside. B'lasan b'shalos haleim. It swallows them, means it rules over them. And poltasa means it loses their rulership.
I don't see it such a... Yeah, tell you that.
What?
Yeah, you
could. Again, what's the... Okay. We'll try again. That's a great question. It bothered me also, but I came to the following answer. That there's no purpose in telling us that. Obviously, the dream is trying to tell him something about three of these ribs. Now, what is he trying to say? They did rule over them, he didn't rule over them. We're not interested in telling you a story of animals and ribs. They might like ribs barbecue, they might like it with sauce, I don't know. That's not the point in the pasuk. Pasuk is obviously trying to tell me something about three animals vis-a-vis Bubbo.
We engulfed by them so much so that they were between their teeth and they couldn't get out there.
Again, so Chazal understand that it's a contradiction. They're saying that if it's inside, it's not outside. If it controls it, then it does not control it. Now you could say it partially has a half a control. And Gemara is not satisfied with that.
Visible on the outside, so it's not part of the inside.
Okay. Right. Amar Yes.
It also may simply serve to identify the animals specifically, and that some animals chew with their mouth open, like my mother told me not to, and other animals chew with their mouth closed.
Again, I can only say again, the Navi is not interested in teaching me animal character traits. He's interested in telling something that was a, it wasn't a Navi, it was Daniel, he's not considered a Navi. Daniel, whatever he was, he's not a Navi. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daniel loved Navi. But whatever he saw in the dream, it was something to teach us something, not something to tell us about animals. So if it was important enough to have the dream, by the way, it was Nechavanetzer that had the dream, not Daniel. And Nechavanetzer, that the Rabbi Hashem showed him this, obviously he's telling him something about three areas. He's not trying to tell him how animals eat. For that, you go to a zoo. Dr. Gemara Weitzer.
He's teaching them this is will happen, you mean, or did happen.
Or is happening.
Or is happening?
Yeah. Va'aru, I think it's, how does it pronounce the next word? Va'aru chayet achrei tinyana. And in the dream he saw another animal, the second animal. Damiel adayv. It looks like a bear. The bear is Persia. They indulge in food like bears. Musabam Kadaiv. They're fat like bears. Obese, I'll use a nicer word. They're obese like bears. Umegadlim Seir Kadaiv. And they have a lot of hair. Meaning, I don't know what the significance of the hair is. Pashup Shad is that the Persians let their hair grow long. It's part of their imposing fear on people act. They look scarier. They have long hair. Ve'ein la menucha kadaiv. And they can't settle down. They're never settled. They're always moving. They're always involved in something. They don't have the ability to relax. What that signifies in Persia, I'm not sure, but that's what the Gemara is saying. Rashi, Musubalim Kadaiv, Bale Basar, Lashon Oivi Vishumanhu, thickness and fat. Ba'almanami Amina Katan Musurubu Babasar, Hamilubish Babasar Kasarbo, covered with flesh like a coat, like a cloak. It's cloaked with flesh. Doiv Eilem Enucha, Kshu Kusher, when you tie a bear, Hailuchu Ba Tamatri Vaisav. Constantly moving within the range of he can move. Doesn't stop. Weiter. Zogt Gemara weiter. Rav Ami Kavachosi Parsa the Rochev. When Rav Ami saw a Persian riding a horse or whatever he was riding, Amar Hainu Duvenaida. This is the moving bear. Rashi Duvenaida Dive Naidate. Amalai Rabbi Lelevi. Now Rabbi asked Levi, Rashi says that Levi had a way of parables, of describing things. And therefore, Rebbe asked for a description. Now, I'm not 100% sure what the depth of the description is. I'm sure that if you go beyond pshat, there must be some depth to it. I am 100% confident. Mayachmiyo, I marked it. So just keep that. I can't give that in to Rebbe Berger. So Rebbe asked Levi, Hareini Parsiyim. Show me something that describes Persian. Give me a muscle for Persians. Now this is Rabbi Ner Tisrael. Amalei, Doimim L'chayala Shebeis David. They are strong like the army of Beis David. They impose a fear on people. They are a powerful army. Interesting that Rabbi is asking him during Rabbi's time when the Persian Empire wasn't so strong anymore, the Romans were ruling Eretz Yisrael, and they were the most powerful empire in the world at that point. But the Persian Empire did exist, albeit that it wasn't so strong. But yet, Levi is describing them as powerful soldiers. He asked them, Hareini Yishmael Chaverin. Now, Chaverin is a Siren Rashi. Here, Rashi learns they were a nation next to Persia. Rashi in Gittin says they were from Persia. Again, it's around that neighborhood. So he said, what did he say about them? They are terrible people. They're like bad angels, meaning they really persecuted Jews, the Chaverin. And therefore, he said they're like Malachi Chavala. Hareini Yishmaelim, he said, show me Yishmaelim. He said, Daimel Yisirim Shebeis HaKisei. They're like the Shadim that hang around the Beis HaKisei. Now, I saw one of the Mefarshim, the Reb Tzadik, says that they're dressed in black, those Shadim, and it signifies the Yetzirah of Znus. That the Yishmaelim stand for the Yetzirah of Znus. The Gemara and Kedushin also earlier, that 9/10 of Znus went to Yishmael. Hareini Tamid HaChacham Shebabavo. The Rebbe said, describe to me the Tamid HaChacham Shebabavo. He said, Daimim LaMalachi Asharas. They're like Malachi Hashares, the highest, the Malachim that serve upstairs. Rashi, Reini Parsiyim, Bale Misholas V'Demuya Soya Levi. Levi gave parables and comparisons. V'Kamalei Rebbe Misholi Parsiyim L'Mahin Daibim. Show me a comparison to Persians. Chayala Shebeis David Zatrashi Gibayrim. Chaverin, Uma Hasmucha L'Parsiyim, U'Mashchisim Heim, they're destructive. The Tarfonim name, and they are murderers, Yaisim Yiparsim, worse than the Persians. The Sirim, the Lubashim Shchairim, dressed in black, the Daimim Lashadim, and they are similar to demons. Daimim Lamalachi Asharis, Lavushim Levenim, the Tabitha Chacham and Bubba wear white, Vatufim, and they are wrapped around Kamalachi Asharis. Ksiv, the Ish Lavush Habadim, but it describes a Malach It says he's wearing the silk, the white linen. Bottom is linen, white linen. He sat with the linen clothing wrapped around him with tzitzis. But daimel a malach. So wearing white linen is a certain similarity to a malach. Madarm nami aminan, ma malachi asharis, yibaran. Ma'ai karelu malachi asharis. Why is the rabbanon referred to malachi asharis? They're dressed very nicely, and they're wearing clothing that signifies what the malachim wear. The rest you can say on your own. I'm just reading the Gemara and the Rashi. Dr. Gemara Baiter. Now here comes a very fascinating Gemara. He have a nicha nafshe the Rebbe. When Rebbe was nifter, Amar, he said the following facts. Before he was nifter, he told people the following facts. Humunya Ikababo, there's a city called Humunya. Kula Manoi. I want everybody to know that that city comprises of people from Amoin. Now, to Shiloh, does that mean Gayim from Amoin or Gayim from Amoin? And therefore, their boys will always be usher to marry Jewish girls. I saw two different shots of the Gemara. Pick your shots. Masgaria Ikababo, there's another city in Bubba called Masgaria. Kula Mamzerihi. You should know, they're all Mamzerim. Why Rebbe revealed that, I don't know. It was before he died. He told people, that city is Amoinim. Again, Gayim Yidden, I don't know. And, meaning...
Further down, it's going to tell us. Is that possible?
No, it's not possible.
It says, it says that this book... The war on 72B will explain the significance.
That doesn't mean it's going to tell us if it's Gayim or Yidden. Again. I'll tell you what. When we get there, you'll show me how the Gemara explains it, okay? Later. Mizgarya Ikebabobo is the city of Mizgarya, Kul de Mamzerihi. Birke Ikebabobo, and I might not pronounce it like our school. Shnei Achim Yesh, there are two brothers there. Shemachlifin is the same Zelazed, that wife swap, which is not only Eishas Ish, but it's Eishas Ach. Birsa de Satya Ikebabobo, there's a city of Satya means they turned away. What's about them? Hayoim Saru Machri Amokim. Today they shmatted. Let me say, this very day they were Mekhaim Shmat. Why? The Akfi Peri Mekhaim B'Shabbat. What happened was the river, or the whatever body of water, flooded and gave a lot of fish, came out on the dry land on Shabbos. And they went, these people, V'Azlu V'Tzadabu B'Shabbat. And they went and they picked up the fish and trapped it on Shabbos, meaning they went for Mechal Shabbos. Now, why exactly is it called Sadu? If the fish are dead on the ground, it's not really Teda. So the way I understand it is it could be there was still water there, they were still alive, but it was easier to trap because they were out of the river, and therefore they went and trapped it. It's Asher Gomer, it's a Deraisa.
Bishamtinu Rabba. Maybe the ground. Maybe
overflow.
There's tons of fish, and
there's an
overflow with fish.
I don't know. This is what I understood it. And he put them in Kherim. Bishtamr. And because he put them in Kherim, they went and converted. They left Judaism. Now, this is what Rebbe said. Dr. Trumas Hadeshin, you see a big... Why did Rebbe tell this? Now, I can understand why he said Psulim. But what difference does it make? Why did he have to announce that these people shmatted themselves today? Like, here is the news broadcast. It is a city out there that everybody shmatted themselves today. Welcome to the news. I mean, Rebbe's not a newscaster, Chas v'Shalom, Rachman al-Islam. He tells us things we have to know. What do we learn from this story? This story was why did Rebbe feel necessary to tell that? Dr. Trumas Hadeshin, Rebbe was teaching a halacha. That even though putting them in Kherim forced them to shmat themselves, it's not our cheshbon. If they deserve Kherim, you put them in Kherim. If it causes them to go off the D because they're put in Kherim, that's their problem, not our problem. That's the Trumas Hadeshin's psak. Based on this Gemara, that's what Rebbe was teaching. He was saying they put them in Kherim, they went shmat, and he didn't criticize it. And Dr. Ramah Paskins this, that if somebody deserves Kherim, even though by putting him in Chayrim you might drive him further away from Yiddishkeit, that's not your concern. The Bezin has to do what they have to do. And that, again, I'm not finished yet. That's the Rambam's fact from the Trumas Hadeshen based on this Gemara. Zok de Taz, no Raya. Zok de Taz, that's not why Rebbe said the story. Rebbe said the story because he wanted people to know that what he was doing was Ruach HaKadosh. That he was saying this city is this and this city is this wasn't because he knew this for 100 years and now he was telling it. He was trying to tell them, I'm telling you all this thing, Baruch HaKadosh. And the way he proved it to them is he told them the story of the Shema. Now there's no way Rebbe had knew that for 100 years. It happened today. It was his way of revealing to them, Rabbi Sai, what I'm saying now as I'm dying is Ruach HaKadosh. And therefore has no bearing on Halacha. It's not that Rebbe was paskening this. Rebbe was telling them the story that's the Taz's slug up, or he argues, of the Ramah. And he says there's no raya from this Gemara that that's what you would do. I'm just pointing it out. The Machlokes, the Ramah, and the Taz, whether you can bring a raya from this Gemara or not. Yes, Rabbi Cohen.
Chayrim is Lavdaf, it could be Balkis, it could be any of the...
That's what I think Drama says. Again, I don't want to... I'm passing a local
I'm
Maitre.
Wondering why Rebbe said Chayrim only.
Because the Gemara here said Chayrim. Maybe Drama says Chayrim only. I don't know. I didn't even look it up.
But it doesn't seem like there'd be a difference, right?
Maybe, again. That's your speculation. If the Rama says both, then you're right. If he doesn't, you could argue.
A person deserves Balkis. You know what? This guy, if you give him Balkis, he may go to, you know...
Well, the Taz says there's no riot completely from this Gemara.
But the bottom line is...
The bottom line is it's a Machlokes, Rama, and the Taz. That's the bottom line.
The bottom line is, from this story, is it a riot? But in general, a person deserves the punishment. Do we check out his brain deficiency? He's what do we do? We went through the whole thing, and the person's always he's a very meek person. He's going to probably lose it. Do we do that?
I don't know how long we do check health. I mean, I don't know what you mean.
By Malchus, you mean because you might kill him, that's why.
Yeah.
You might kill him, that's why.
I thought so. You might kill him here, Rukhni, is the I'm not paskining. I'm not paskining a local Amaita. But I will disagree with you on this point. You know why I disagree with you? Because I disagree with people that take something and they draw conclusions when they're not, no offense to you, I'm talking about myself, they're not learning enough. Draw conclusions from a story in the Gemara. Now, I told you a Rambam, I told you a Taz. Halacha l'maaseh, I don't know. I don't know enough. But I don't agree with people that decide halacha based on what they think is right without research into what the Achrayim say. That's all I'm saying. Maybe we paskel like the Rambam. Maybe we paskel like the Taz. I don't know. I'm not saying. All I know is I didn't research it any further than that. So
that
therefore, I'm not going to agree to you that this is the way it is. I don't want to know.
They don't even argue Lamaisa. All they argue about is this is a story of Raya.
Could be. Could be not. You know what? Go up, look it up, and look up the Taz, and see what he says, and see what that Achrayim say, and then you can tell me what that luck is. Please don't take this personal. But I have a big aversion, if that's the right word, to people who draw conclusions Lamaisa based on very limited knowledge. The doctor should be Michael me, but if you make medical decisions based on reading a story in Olamenu, this is not Olamenu, it's Shas, but if you start making medical decisions based on reading one medical thing without research, you're foolish. I mean, you have no right to make that. You have to research things. You can't just make a halachic decision based on one without looking it up, without going through it. That's what I mean to say. You're asking me, is Pasha this way? I'm not going to answer you. I don't know. I didn't learn that Achrayim. I don't know that local. I'm sure Reb Moshe talks about it. Reb Shlomo Zal. These are contemporary Paiskim to deal with contemporary Shilas. They definitely address this issue. So I'm going to sit here because I know one Rambam and Taz that I saw brought down and I thought it was interesting to speak out. So I am now going to become a Paisik Achron on an issue. I wouldn't dare do that. And I definitely don't decide on my rely on my brain to paskin things I have no knowledge about. It's like paskining. I should paskin a heart shiloh because I once saw, brought down. So you can't do that. You have to research. That's all I'm saying. Please don't take this personally.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Last week we learned about the care that is taken in outing anybody for purposes of showing their genealogy. When here, I understand that you're saying it was Ruach HaKodesh that Rebbe was saying all this, but when he's talking about two brothers swapping wives, is he just revealing...
He was trying to say that their kids are mamzerim. Now, it did bother me, and I mentioned this, and that's why I think you can ask, if we're not outing people, why was Rebbe outing them?
That's what I was asking.
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer.
We learned last week that he could out to his Talmidim and certain families only. I think
maybe,
that's what we learned.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, we did. Maybe. I didn't have a good answer to that. But, yeah, I hear your question. Especially two brothers. You know what I mean? Like, in a distant country. And over there, nobody knows that they're wife swapping. Rebbe's telling his Talmidim, there's two brothers. He didn't even say who they are. He just says, there's two brothers in that city that are wife swapping. Unless that shows Ruach HaKodesh again. That he was, but again, I hear the question.
He's not naming them.
No, at least the Gemara doesn't bring the names, no.
Something about the city? Something bad about the city?
No, I didn't say anything. I don't know. Please be mindful of me. I just want to get a point across. Because it always bothers me when people do that. You can't do that. We don't know. I can only talk for myself. I don't know enough. Who am I going to prosper in Shiloh based on I just mentioned, the Ramah says one thing, the Taz says the other. I didn't research this halacha l'maaseh, so I can't answer the questions. And I'm not going to agree to any halacha l'maaseh.
Have you ever put anyone in chirim yet?
No, I never put anybody in chirim.
Be careful marrying people from that city.
What?
Check out people from that city before you decide to marry from Birka.
Oh, yeah. Rashi. These are all names and places. Rebbe was saying, what happened? Akli peri, the kavri, fish, whatever fish pond, flooded the fish out, harbe, they went and captured it. Akli, hainif. Where's Akvi? The Akvi Perry means it raised it. Because I mean, of a Yatsa Barzal, a cup of Barzal, the metal floated, came up. Perry, Brecha, Suya, the God, Dugim. It's Pira. It's Piri, not Perry, I think. It's, how does he pronounce it? Akvi Pira? You are in a line, but how do you pronounce it?
Akvi Pira.
Pira. Which means it's a fish pond. Blas Beaver. Stambut and Stambut, they smarted themselves. Yes. I didn't mean you. I meant the approach that way. He didn't say the word is Michael. Are you Michael? Excuse me.
I don't take this stuff
seriously. Are you going to be Michael? Say you're Michael me.
I
Adab Abba, yes, Bob. It's a name, Abba Baba. Yes. Not that Rebbe agree. That's all. He said you can't prove from here that's halacha. You see, that's Rav Acha Bar Yashe Shita. But see, I think Vashad is like follows, without even looking up the Taz. I would say that had Rebbe not said over the story, Rav Acha Bar Yashe did it, and these were the consequences. He didn't know these would be the consequences. But when Rebbe's saying it over, he's giving a stamp of approval. That's what the Brahma, the true Sadeshan, is saying. But Rav Acha Bar Yashe, he didn't know that would happen. Maybe he would have known, he wouldn't have done it. But by Rebbe saying it over, he's saying, good thing. Why else would he say it over? So the Taz, he said it over to prove that he's doing a Baruch HaKadosh. Yes, doctor.
I mean, this is a Klosh Samurai, this very thing that Rabbi Shua Tzibrachia, which would indicate the otherwise. The Gemara says the fair's there, if I recall correctly, that you don't push someone completely away.
Again.
So you need, as you were saying, to quote you, you need to have the shoulders to be able to say in a situation.
Okay, so Yeshua Baraka's story is not a riot to anything. You should be like, okay. And the reason it isn't is that there he put him a mechirim,
right,
and he came to ask mechila. That's what happened there. He came to ask mechila, and he didn't want to. First time he didn't want to agree. Then later on, it was in the middle of Kriya Shema, and he went like this, and he thought that he's pushing him away, and he wasn't pushing him away. So that doesn't prove, because he did tshuva there. He attempted to do tshuva. That was the taina on Rabbi Shua ben Prachya. You should never be taicha b'shtei yadayim, because the guy felt he had no chance anymore. Over here, it's a different story. It doesn't say that they came to appease Rabbi Akabaya.
But if I recall correctly, which I very well may not, at the end it says you should not push someone away.
Again, that he did push him away, and they're supposed to do tshuva. That's not pushing it away, but stay yadayim. It's allowing a re-entry. There, he felt he wasn't allowed a re-entry. Here, they didn't try to re-enter. They just got angry and walked off.
Is there a theological halacha with somebody who's shmad? Is there something? Like, if somebody who's shmad, children are something wrong with
according them? According to most shittas, and I mean overwhelming majority of shittas, they are totally Jewish. There are shittas, the rishonim, that say that you can lose your halachic status of a Jew, which is a very big chiddush. Halacha l'maaseh, we don't paskin that way. It would have to be, it's a Shiloh comes by Yibum. Man dies without children. He has a brother that doesn't believe in Judaism and refuses to give chalitza. Is the woman bound for life? There are shittas that want to say that she's not. But it's a very big chiddush. It's Rishonim. You know, and in following my own way of life, I don't ever say anything about Rishonim, the who am I. But the overwhelming accepted shita is that she is bound for life, Nebuch. Again, it's just bringing a riot in it. But if you ask the norm, is that there's no such thing as rejecting your Judaism. Once you're Jewish, you're stuck forever. According to the Taz, he was trying to prove he had Ruach HaKodesh, so he just told you something that happened today.
Does the Heter Meir
No. Heter Meir Rabbanim is only to remove a Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershon. Heter Meir Rabbanim cannot remove anything biblical or rabbinic. Meaning, if a woman husband refuses to give his wife a get, there's no way to have a Heter Meir Rabbanim. The Torah says a woman can't get married unless she divorces or her husband dies. That's it. There's no way around that. Finished. Rachman al-Litzan, the husband goes crazy. The woman's bound for life. Nothing she can do. As long as he's alive. She can kill him, and then she can get married. That's their only option. Her only option, or to daven that he recovers so he can give her again. It's the only option. I know the story that a man was losing it. So she was told, the woman was told, get the get while you still can. Because at a certain point, he won't be capable of giving you a get. But fine, that's just that. The Heter Meir Rabbanim was given, because Rabbeinu Gershon said that you can't marry two wives. Midrashim, you're allowed to marry two wives. Midrabanan, you're allowed to marry two wives. Rabbeinu Gershon came around in the 9th century, the 10th century, or the 11th century, whatever it was, 10th century, and he made a takana that you can't marry Kherim, you're not allowed to marry two wives. So he gave an out that you can get out of the Kherim by Heter Meir Rabbanim. That's the only way. It doesn't affect any rabbinic or biblical law. Now, if a man dies and has no children, and his brother is totally off the D, and is not interested in giving chalitza, Nebuch, she's stuck. Yeah, it's sad. It's very sad. It's like people that don't want to give their wife a get. It's very sad. Right. Yes?
Has time run out on both the comments of Rabbeinu Gershon?
What do you mean? Yeah, so what happened was it ran out in 1240 in the English calendar. At 1240, Rabbeinu Gershon's Cherem ran out. He only made it up to year 1240. At 1240, the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim split ways. The Sfaradim did not renew it, and the Ashkenazim renewed it. Till Mashiach comes. Again, it was a decision by the Rishayim, my limited knowledge, by a decision by the Rishayim to renew it from 1240. Now, the reason I say 1240, that was the year, that was year 5000 in the Jewish calendar. He made it up to the year 5000. Year 5000, it expired. So, at that point, do we continue it or not? The Ashkenazi Gedolim did, the Sfaradi Gedolim did not. End of story. That's why Sfaradim could marry more than one wife, even today, if they want to, except recently they stopped, or basically stopped. But Ashkenazim, it's us. So Rabbeinu Gershon allowed for this out called the Hetamei Rabbanim. That's the only time it works. You can't be mounted to Rises or Rabbanim with the Hetamei Rabbanim.
It's not because of social reasons?
I wasn't there, and I'm not going to comment. I don't know. I don't know.
If you're not in the country you live in, you can't do anything, right?
That's the Dinah Machusa. That you might go to jail for. Dinah Machusa doesn't really affect marital law. It affects it practically. Because if you got caught with polygamy, you can go to jail. And I'm not sure why polygamy is more usher than whatever else they're doing today. But I'm not here to comment on American law. Yeah, I mean, you'll leave that for
that. That's one of the many things that just surprised me. Is I figured that it was only a matter of months before polygamy, all the guy,
again. To me, they mount for everything else. Why would they mount to polygamy? You know, do what you want. It's a hefkevel. But they weren't, so not advised in America. Right. Let's go back to tomorrow. It's much more important. Akwa da'agma, make it a bubble. There's a city, Akwa da'agma. I think it means the city of Agma. Adaba Ava Yeshba. There's a person named Adaba Ava. Hayoyim Yeshav, Hayoyshev, B'cheikah shel Avraham. Today he's in the lap of Avraham Avinu. What does that mean? So trashy. Yes, I'm a mace. Some say he said, Adaba Ava was nifted today. Imkane Zotrashi, ain't the Ravada Shabbat Gemara. That's not the Ravada of the Gemara, because if he was nifted the day Rebbe died, he never made it to the Gemara. But, meaning he made it into the Gemara, but not as a living person. He didn't live in the time of the Gemara. Menira, the Hal Yoshev Chekesh Avram Avinu Shenichnas LeBrismila. His bris was today. And a person has a bris sitting in the lap of Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu is the first one to mount. The Zer Ravada Bahava, according to Rashi, the same Rabbi Bahava, Sheherech Yomim Harbe, he lived very long, Vishmeis Rebbe, Adoris Achroinim, to the very later generations of Achroinim, the mayor of Nachman by Yitzchak. Because the Gamina of Baba Basra, like it says in Baba Basra, he was around with Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak, which takes him 200 years at the minimum, maybe even more. So he really lived a long life. Tysus says there were two Rabbi Bahavas, one who lived was born in the time of Rebbe, and one who was born later on. Tysus wants to say there were two of them. He brings him to read, there were two of them. Dr. Gemara Beit.
How old was he then at that? Rebbe said
at 8 days? Yeah, he got it from his Brismila.
Not that he didn't have a Mila until
now. No. Right. Today he's his Bris.
Okay.
Hayoyim Nailed Rebbe Yehuda Bababo. The next thing Rebbe told people, today there's a person born in Bubbo that's going to end up being Rav Yehuda. Now, the child was an infant. He wasn't Rav Yehuda yet. In fact, at his birth, they did not name him Rav Yehuda. They named him Yehuda. Right? But Rebbe was saying, Ruach HaKadosh, the man who's going to be Rav Yehuda is born in Bubbo today. Damar Mar, Shemei Shabakiva Nailed Rebbe, Shemei Shrebi Nailed Rav Yehuda, Shmei Shav Yehuda Nailed Rava. Now here there's a machlokes in Girsa. Our Girsa is Shmei Shrava Nailed Ravashi, but the Rambam's Girsa is that Rava was before Kaidim Shemesh Rava Nail Ravashi, because we find the Gemara that says Ravashi learned by Rava. Rabbi Nisham doesn't leave the world without a tzaddik. As soon as a tzaddik goes, another tzaddik is born. Now, notice that you don't see it right away. If Yehuda is born in Bavo, doesn't mean people say, ah, Reb Chaim Kanevsky was nifter, but somebody now is taking over. The one who was born when Reb Chaim Kanevsky was nifter, we don't know who he is yet. We don't know. They didn't know who Reb Yehuda was the day Rebbe was born. Later on, looking back, you can say, ah, the Reb Nisham took care of Klal Yisrael. He does. He takes care of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar v'zarech ha-shemesh v'bo ha-shemesh. Actually, it comes to Shemesh ha-Eli, zarech ha-shemesh ha-shemur ha-masi. Before Eli died, Shmuel was around. Shenemar v'neir l'kim terem b'yichba v'shmuel sheichev. And Shmuel was already laying and he got nevuah. Now, I will tell you my part and take it only what it's worth because it's my own. And I don't claim to have all the answers to all the questions. That you find in a medrash, the medrash lists a whole bunch of these. Actually, Meis Nailed. And then it says, Misha Meis Nailed. Some were born before, and some were born as. So I wanted to tie that. That's something that occurred when it went from, because Baruch Hu ran the world in a revealed way. And then by Bayi Sheni, it was already Hester Panim. When you run a world in a revered way, you see it. Eli died. Shmuel's right here. Takes right over. He's ready to go. And all that, the Medrash is all cases of the earlier generations were Achulei Meis. As soon as the person died, we knew who's stepping into his shoes. Masha'en Kane, after this Hester Panim, it's Yom Shemes Rebbe Dailer of Yehuda. You don't know it yet. Later on, you see that the Rabbi Nisham took care, because that's Hester Panim. So by Eli, it's actually comes to Shimshon Shaili, Zarka Shimshon Shmuel, and everybody knew Shmuel was a Navi before Eli died. Didn't have to be born then. It's my own part, take it for whatever it's worth. And that's it. Not in Matt, I don't want people to argue with me. I don't get to take it personal. I'm just joking. But it doesn't make a difference. I just mentioned that it's a part. Thank you for having me. Yes, Doctor.
One of the things that I think is notable about this question is you notice that the process begins 7 to 9 months prior to the death of the primary person.
Yes.
That is following the general fall. There is another explanation which is easily available, but it's not important. But the process is there is never
right. A gap. Something in my writer. This is the end of the story, Rabbi. Yes.
The stories with the gadol that dies, the one that says it was born that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one is that day, if you check all the people that were born that day, one of those people, is that what it meant?
I don't know. Take a look at the records and tell me. I'll tell you what.
No,
I don't know what to tell you. How am I supposed to answer
that
question? Again, I'll say my following again. I will comment it again very carefully. Actually, Rebbe says that Rebbe Yehuda was born in Bavel, and the Gemara calls it Tzadik Kamaisai. Now, there were other people alive after Rebbe died, before Rebbe Yehuda matured. Rav, Shmuel, Rebbe Yechelen, Levi, Bar Kappara, Rebbe Chia, and I'm only mentioning Rebbe Shubba Levi, Rebbe Huna. But there were other people there. Now, Klal Yisrael wasn't bereft of a gadol at the time. Now, they didn't have Rebbe. But they had Rav, they had Shmuel, they had Rav Yechon, they had Shubba Levi, they had Chizkiah, they had Rav Yanai. There's a lot of people that were around, and I don't even know, I'm not even mentioning all of them. Terence says, there's something unique about Rav Yehuda, which I don't know what it is, that he replaced Rebbe. Yom Shemesh Rav Yehuda Naila Drava. Now when Rav Yehuda died, there was Rav Nachman, there was Rav Chizda, there were many people, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Abaya. So I don't know why Rava is picked as the continuation of Yehuda, and why Rav Yehuda is picked as the continuation of Rebbe. I can't answer that question. Right? So All I'm saying is that you see, for whatever reason, Rabbi Yehuda replaced Rabbi, and I don't know what it is, the Rabbeinu Shlom needed, wanted that to be in the world as soon as Rabbi died. We don't recognize it at that point, but later on, recognize it.
On that birthday, right? That's all I'm asking. If we had an ability to see all people born that day, on that day, and he was Nifter, that someone who was in that hospital was born.
In a hospital. Or maybe at home. In your home birth.
Yeah, I didn't
mean that. Come to the forefront, I'm thinking about the same thing. Can we look at the Gedolim today and ask what their birthday is and see who died?
No, I wouldn't advise you wasting your time on that. This is Ashgach of the Rabbeinu Shlom. All Rabbi was revealing was the Rabbeinu Shlom takes care of Klal Yisrael. That's it.
They come to the forefront, each Gedolim to replace other Gedolim.
Well, Rabbi Yehuda did, and Rabbi did.
Nowadays?
I don't know. I'm not going to say, I learned this Gemara, so now I'm poskitting. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't know. I assume yes. If you asked me to guess, I would say the Rabbeinu Shlom still takes care of Klal Yisrael. He still cares about us. I assume so. Not only assume so, I know so. But I don't know if that means that it still happens today. My guess would be yes. Will you ever be able to find him? I highly doubt it. Because maybe by the time he comes to the forefront, he'll be 120. I don't know. I mean, Rav Yehuda didn't come to the forefront the day he was born.
No, but somehow they knew.
Rebbe told us. Yeah, but they also knew that when Rav Yehuda died, Rebbe was born. So obviously later on, somebody made that connection. So if you want to go look all the hospital records to find out when all the children were born, maybe you'll find it. Maybe you won't. Maybe you will. I have no idea. I don't know yard sites. I don't know birthdays. So it doesn't make a difference. It's not something that makes no big difference to me.
We don't know why it happens at all.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't make a difference to me. Meaning I know there might be something here, Claudia, so whether I figure it out or I don't figure it out.
No, but you would feel better if you could figure it out.
No, I wouldn't. Because to me, the Rebbeinu Shlom is 100% taking care of Klal Yisrael, so I don't have to worry about it, whether I can figure it out or not figure it out. I know it anyway.
Someone, it's like, you would feel so much better.
I wouldn't.
I would feel so much better.
Okay, so you have the option now. Check out who was born on the day Rebbeinu was the first. By the way, when's Rebbeinu's yard site, would you say? You know what day it is? I happen to know the day it's yard site, because it was Shushan Purim here. I happen to know that because it was Shusha Purim. It would have been Zion Kislev, I would never remember. But I have a Shusha Purim, so I remember.
Moshe was the day before Purim.
What? Moshe was Tinus Esther. Don't think about it. Now, you can look around at any Gadol today, born on Tinus Esther, the day Moshe was Nifter, and maybe now you can figure it out. You can look back. It's already 35 years. 36 years since he was Nifter. Nifter in 87, I believe, 86. Say 37 years. Could be, I don't know. Don't think about it. The Tziva Hashem LeYaakov Tziva Tzara. You know, there's a Medrash that says that there was a Nevuah. Somebody said in Nevuah that there's going to be a Shmuel born, the Yalkut, that's going to be a Navi. All the mothers named their kid Shmuel then, because they wanted to have that child that's going to be a Navi. Right. Another thing about the Tziva Hashem LeYaakov, Tziva Tzarav. Hashem commanded to Yaakov that they'll be surrounded by enemies. Dr. Gemara of Yehuda Amar, Ganhumanya Lepum Nahara. Dr. Rashi. Tziva Hashem LeYaakov, Tziva Tzarav. Tzarav Shari Saivavad Vartzam. Same enemies that we had when we were in Eretz Yisrael. Amenumayev bothered Klal Yisrael more than any other nations during their stay in Eretz Yisrael. Because I mean, a bechelik. Amenumayev shcheini bishi the Yerushalayim hayum. They were bad neighbors of Yerushalayim. Aisam tziva. She assigned them aisam abegalusa. We couldn't escape them. Yidden went into exile. So did Amenumayev right in our neighborhood. So they drove us crazy in Eretz Yisrael. And they continue driving us crazy in Golas. Hashem moved Klal Yisrael's tzarav, next the klai is showing galus. She kagad humanya the kula damenoihi. Humanya was the city of Ammon. Could mean lehu hashivim sacherah bebabel. That might be what the Harshko meant. The significance is later. Now we see that Hashem moved Ammon near the klai Yisrael, right? Just like they bothered them in Yerushalayim, that would prove they were goyim, and they bothered them in Golos also. They materially Yisrael shem Bumnara, and they bothered the Yidden in Bumnara. Yes, doctor.
It's interesting. I marked the pasuk that God has decreed concerning those who surround you. I marked that when we went through Kedushin last, or when I went through Kedushin last. Thinking about current events, it would seem to be pretty definitive.
Again, you know, my opinion, I don't say I'm with Shitasi. Now, think about it. Now, here comes an interesting story I know very little about. There was a Russian named Paltiyahu ben Binyahu. Paltiyahu ben Binyahu was a Russian that lived in Yirmiah's time. I believe he was instrumental in throwing Yirmiah into prison. This was Paltiyahu ben Binyahu. Bahiki Navi, this is Yecheskel. When Yecheskel said Nevuah, Paltiyahu ben Binyahu meis. And I heard news that Paltiyahu ben Binyahu is dead. The epo upon I fell on my face. The ezakah gadol, and I cried out. The yomer, and I said, Aho Hashem Elikim. What does Aho mean? Woe Hashem Elikim. Now, what is Yecheskel saying woe for? Rav Shmuel to Machlekes Rav Shmuel. Charam Eletayva. One saying that he was happy. He was saying he deserved what he got. Meaning, he deserved to die on his bed, not to be killed. The Charam Elera. And once that Yecheskel was saying, I don't understand. Why did he die on his bed? He should have gotten worse. So one man the Amar said Yecheskel was happy that this happened. Woe Hashem Elikim was not a complaint, but a hadah, a thanks. And the other man the Amar said he couldn't understand that he was questioning in his own madrega.
How is it positive?
I don't know.
I think maybe aha means alas, isn't it?
What does the article say aha is?
How can woe virtue think? It was halotayos, it was virtue.
Rashi charam alotayva, I'm a yalu hanavi alof. He was bemoaning, but he said it was for good. Charam alara, shayim rabein of shemes misiyafa. He was upset that this Paltiyahu died an easy death. Now the Gemara is going to explain why one thought Lataiva and why one thought Lara. So I'm just going to speak out the next thing. What happened was Nebuchadnezzar had a son-in-law, and he wanted slaves. He said, "You captured so many slaves by the Jewish people. Can I have some?" So Nebuchadnezzar was going to send Jews to Meshon, where this son-in-law lived. So Paltiyahu told Nebuchadnezzar, "Listen, don't send the Jews there. They're good people, high-standing people. Send their slaves who are lower, send them to your son-in-law." Now, by doing that, he saved the yichus of Klal Yisrael and Bavo, because instead of having Avadim and Bavo and the Jews in Meshon far away, he kept the Jews in Bavo where the community was and sent the Avadim back away. That's why Meshon turned into Misa, but he saved Bavo. So he deserves credit. That's the mandama that says L'taiva. The mandama says L'ra is because he was saved by the Zara, as we will see tomorrow, and everybody...